Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Wherever you're listening today, we thank you for tuning in today. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Genesis 1:26. We're going to talk about the nature of man and your plight here on this earth. We're going to talk about your position in relation to God here on this earth. And God has placed us here. He has created us. He created you with a destiny and a calling in your life. And he wants to see you move forward into that calling. He wants to see you move forward into that destiny. He wants to see you become, here on this earth, the fullness of his desire for you and to have the fullness of his blessings here on this earth. And so we're going to start here and look at the position we have here on this earth, the nature of man. Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created you, brother and sister. He created you in his image. You were created with his likeness. You were created with a body, with a soul, with a spirit. And you were created to worship God. That is the primary reason God created man. We are the crowning jewel of his creation, and we are created to worship him. And it is wonderful that you do things here on this earth that in the, you might say, secular realm, in the realm of your duties, whatever they are, in the realm of your work and your vocation, whatever they are. But God primarily wants you to have a relationship with him and to worship him. That is primarily why you were created. Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." And so Jesus Christ was sitting beside him. The Holy Spirit was beside him, of course. And they were the ones who created God, created us in God's image. They're the ones who said, "Let us make man in our image." And so God took dust of the earth. He took some clay. He took some dust. He put some water with it, and he created Adam. He blew the living spirit, his spirit, into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. He became a living being. And just as you too are a living being, God has created you for a purpose, and God has given you a destiny that he has spoken over you even before your first day here on this earth. Just as he spoke over Jeremiah the prophet in Jeremiah 1, he said, "Jeremiah, I knew you even before you were in the womb. I knew you, and I spoke over you that you were to be a prophet to the nations. You were to speak to the nations." And so just as God spoke over Jeremiah that "I knew you, Jeremiah," so he knows you. You out there, brother and sister listening today, whoever you are, God knows you. He knows your destiny because he created that destiny within you. He created that calling within you, and it is his utmost desire and his utmost passion to see you walk into that destiny and to see you fulfill that destiny in your days here on this earth. Well, in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it tells us, Solomon tells us, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he, God, has put eternity in their hearts," or in our hearts, "except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." And so what Solomon is saying is that you have been given eternity in your heart. It is God's desire that you fill up that vacancy, that vacuum, that void. It is God's desire that you fill that up with a relationship with God, that you turn back to your Father to fill up that void that is in you, that you turn back to your Father to fulfill that emptiness and that void that is in you, that the world will try to strip away your desire to fill up that void with your Creator. The world will try to strip away your desire to turn back to God. And you have been given this desire to know him because God created you with that desire. Well, secondly, I want to point out that if you turn back to God, if you desire to seek the Lord and to fill up that vacuum and that void with your Creator, if you desire to do that, whether you are a believer or you're still on the outside looking in and you've never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, even if you seek the Lord, the world will come against you and the world will do its best to keep you from your destiny and your calling, and the world will do its best to strip away, and I'm speaking of the world and the devil, will do its best to strip away that desire that you have to turn back to God, that desire that you have to serve God and to come to Him and to know Him in the deepest parts of your spirit and your soul and your body. And so in this world, you will have tribulation. And this is especially true if you have already confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For many of you, the world and the devil didn't care too much about your comings and goings because he was content and happy to know that you were in his camp and that you were doing the works of the devil, that you had agreed to do the works of the devil, and so the devil wasn't too concerned about your going and your coming. But I can assure you, once you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the devil is going to do everything he can to come against you. He's going to do everything he can to tear you down, to break you down, to persuade you not to go forth into your calling and into your destiny. John 16:33, Jesus told the disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And so Jesus told the disciples, you're going to have tribulation. And we know what tribulation means. That means trials, that means persecution, that means the world is going to come against you, and it is not going to feel like your home here. It is not going to feel comfortable for you here unless you're doing the will of God, unless you're moving forward to try to fulfill that destiny and that calling. John 15:18, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And so if you feel like a brother and sister that you're being persecuted and you're being picked on by the world, understand this. Jesus said, "The world hated me before it hated you." And so the world hated Jesus so much. Of course, we know that Barabbas, the murderer, was released in Jesus' place, and Jesus, the innocent one, was taken and crucified and nailed to the cross. The world hated him so much, the world had to have a blood sacrifice to satisfy their bloodlust. Well, that also fit into the plans of God, because the remission of sins was accomplished through the shedding of blood by Jesus Christ on the cross. But the world thought, and the devil thought, it had gained a victory in nailing Jesus to the cross. And he said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." Verse 19, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." And so as soon as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as soon as you confess his name with your heart, you believe, resulting in righteousness, with your mouth you confess, resulting in salvation. As soon as you confess and admit and confess to the world that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you are going to then be the enemy of the world, and the world will hate you, and the devil then will start to scheme, and the schemes of the devil will try to tear you down. The schemes of the devil will try to get you to sin again. The schemes of the devil will try to get you to walk away from the kingdom of God and his destiny for you. And the schemes of the devil, the wiles of the evil one, the fiery darts of the evil one, will come at you as a relentless attack. And so therefore, you are going to be subject to much persecution and much trial and much tribulation. And John 15:20. "Remember the word I said to you," Jesus said, "a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also." And so Jesus is giving the disciples fair warning here, because he was going to be leaving them soon, and so he was giving them fair warning that the world was going to come against them, that the world was going to persecute them. And he said, you are the servant and I am the master, and since they have treated the master this way, they're going to treat you this way. And so, beloved, I would suggest that you get ready. If you are not a believer and you are moving into the camp of the believer, if you are ready to make a confession, get ready, because it's not necessarily going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be an easy thing to turn against the world. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace to this world. I came to bring a sword. And so if your confession of faith aligns you with Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God, you may have to be separated from some of your loved ones. You may have to be separated from your friends. The kingdom of God will come upon you, and then you will become the spokesman for the kingdom. And beloved, sometimes our best friends, our allies, those who we have walked in agreement with, they will turn and they will betray us. They will persecute us. They will turn on us. They will try to attack us and destroy us. And so if you are in that position where you're just coming in to the kingdom, if you're a baby believer or you're just ready to come in, be ready, because you're going to be subject to attack, just as your master, Jesus Christ, was also subject to attack. Jesus went on to say that they hate the Father also, that the devil and the world hate the Father also. John 15:21. All these things they will do to you on account of or for my name's sake, because they do not know him, or they do not know God who sent me. In verse 23, Jesus said, he who hates me hates the Father also. And so Jesus said, they hate me, they're going to hate the Father, and they're going to hate you. And so when you get in the camp of the Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ, understand that same hatred that was directed towards them, that same hatred that was spewed out towards Jesus when they said, murder him, murder him, murder him, that same hatred is going to be directed towards you. And at some point in time, you may have to give up your life for the kingdom of God. At some point in time, they might cry out over your life, murder him, murder him, murder him. Then Jesus went on to tell the disciples that the reason the world hates him and hates us is because we expose the sin in people's lives, that the Holy Spirit exposes, and so therefore Jesus exposed the sin in people's lives. The scripture that we looked at last week, John 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practices evil, hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. In 1 John 3:8, John says that, for he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And so Jesus came, he exposed the works of the devil, and he came to destroy those works. He came to destroy through his death on the cross. He came to destroy through the payment, the sacrifice of his blood, the propitiation for our sins. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, that through his blood we would have a way back to the Father. And verse 24 in John 15, if I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. And so Jesus said, the works that I did exposed their sin as well. The works that I did, the miracles and all of the healing of their illnesses, all of the healing of their casting out demons, the healing of their bodies, it has exposed their sin as well. Well, glory be to God. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit. For those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and for those of you out there listening today that have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the promise of the Holy Spirit. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so that is the helper that Jesus promised the disciples in John 15:26. He said, "When the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." In verse 27, "And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." And so he said to the disciples, your witness in combination or combined with the witness of the Holy Spirit will testify of me, and it will speak the truth to you. The Holy Spirit will speak the truth to you, and you will be my witness. You will testify to the world of me. And of course, you know that most all the disciples were sentenced to death, persecuted beyond measure. Most of them were either crucified or stoned to death or had their heads chopped off. John was on the Isle of Patmos and wrote the book of Revelation, but he was boiled in oil, as the legend goes, and so he too suffered great persecution and isolation. And so you too, when you receive that Holy Spirit, then you will become a witness for Jesus Christ in this world. And Jesus went on to say in John 16, verse 8, "When he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." And we all know he was speaking of the devil there. The ruler of this world is now judged, because Jesus Christ defeated the devil at the cross. He defeated the death, the sting of death and the sting of condemnation. He defeated at the cross, and so the ruler of this world has been judged, and we now have the opportunity, the blessing, the privilege to have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, reside in us to help us in our daily walk. The plight of man, our nature, includes us being able, in our holy temple, our body, to be able to provide a resting place, a place of welcome for the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. Well, brothers and sisters, take heart, because Jesus allows us to overcome the world. John 16:33 again, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And in John 14:27, Jesus said to the disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And so through Jesus Christ, we can overcome the world. If you're listening to me out there today and you're having extreme trials, extreme tribulation, persecution, if your family is against you because you've become a believer, if your friends have turned against you because you've become a believer in Jesus Christ, understand this, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is with you to comfort you, to strengthen you, to help you bear witness to the world, to help you gain confidence in your walk, to help you gain faith in your walk, that you can bear witness to the world, not only with other believers all across the world, but with the Holy Spirit who stands with you, the Holy Spirit who gives you boldness and gives you that spirit of boldness and a sound mind and discipline, so that you would not be fearful of man, that you would not be fearful of the world, and that you would not only move forward in confidence and in boldness, but you would also have peace, the peace that only the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ can give to you. Well, if you've never accepted Jesus, I urge you to do that today. I urge you to get down on your knees, confess and repent of your sins, turn from your wicked ways. Say, "Jesus, I want you to come in and do a mighty work in my heart. I want you to come into my heart. I'm going to give you a resting place. I'm going to give you a place in my holy temple where you can call home. And I just pray that you do that today. Repent and turn from your wicked ways, and Jesus will be faithful and true to save you and to send the Holy Spirit to reside with you, and so that you have someone to walk with you, someone to bear witness with you, and it is the Spirit of the living God that does such in your life. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week.